Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus said that about Peter. Pretty soon in the New Testament story, Peter disappears. But the church continues to grow, and it's because of a man named Paul who went out and founded churches and had people growing in the faith. He said some kind of caustic things sometimes. He said some really good things sometimes. But Paul is the reason that the church continued to grow. Well, it wouldn't have happened if not for one person, a fellow named Ananias. He made it possible, really, for Christianity to continue to thrive and grow in these early times. Without Ananias, who knows what would have happened? Maybe somebody else would have done it, but maybe not. Ananias was instrumental because he went and prayed with a really, really bad guy, someone he did not want to be friends with. See, Ananias was one who followed Jesus when he was here on earth, and he was continuing to be a follower, a disciple, after Jesus' resurrection. There's a tradition in the Orthodox Church that says that Ananias was one of the 70 apostles who was sent out in pairs in mission to the surrounding areas by Jesus. When they returned from the trip, they were filled with joy and said, and this is from Luke 10, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." Well, that's a tradition, and not all Bible scholars agree that it's possible to name any of the 70 that went out. But the idea that Ananias had been with Jesus since before his crucifixion and resurrection makes sense in the context of today's reading. It was Ananias, a disciple. He'd been living in Damascus, and he had a vision from God. And in it, God instructed him to go find Saul and to pray with him so that he would regain his sight. And of course, Ananias' first reaction was, "Are you kidding? This is one really, really bad man. Powerful and bad." Of course, God's response, "I'm going to use him to tell others about me." And Ananias probably chuckled to himself and said, okay, right. But Ananias got another chance to listen, and he did. Ananias gave Saul another chance. And I wish we heard more about Ananias. I wish there was more of the story there. He's just limited, really, right here, and then the tradition from the Orthodox Church. Ananias is pivotal in the history of Christianity. But maybe we can back up a little bit. We've got Ananias, pivotal, but the story that you're more familiar with, Saul of Tarsus was on a mission. He was out to stop any who belonged to this thing called the Way. That was an early name for Christianity. He wanted to stop them from preaching about a Messiah who could not at all possibly be real. There had been too many claims over the years, and none of the supposed messiahs turned out to be real. And so Saul was on a mission to stop it. There was a Pharisee named Gamaliel. He was a rabbi, and he was respected by all the people. And when the council was considering how to stamp out this new group called the Way, he said that they should be cautious. Gamaliel said that what the council was considering to do wasn't right. See, that the council was considering putting Peter and the apostles to death. Gamaliel argued that if Peter and the apostles were teaching something that wasn't true, then it wouldn't last. But if what they were teaching was true, there was no way to stop it. And Saul was a student of this rabbi. But he wasn't as cautious as his wiser teacher. Saul was on a mission to destroy the way. He didn't want people to be confused and misled by the wrong teaching. But God had other plans, didn't he? When this driven student of the Rabbi Gamaliel had an encounter, it changed his way. He had this encounter on the road to Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight. He neither ate nor drank. Yes, Saul. With the help of Ananias. Saul is, you know, he's commonly known to us as Paul. And there isn't really like this name change that we were always taught of in Sunday school, that he was Saul one day and then Paul the next day. He was always Saul and he was always Paul. Saul's his Hebrew name. Paul is his Greek name. So he just went by the Greek name then. It isn't as if one is bad. Saul is not a bad name. And Paul is not a good name. They're both good. And people who have the name Saul or Paul can be good or bad. But this Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now he was blind. He was probably very hungry. And Ananias found Saul, and he prayed. And he saw things like scales fall off of Saul's eyes, and he baptized him. The Bible doesn't say that it was Ananias that did it, but you can imagine that that's likely because he was a disciple. He had probably been one of the 70. At least he was a follower of Jesus, so he would have probably baptized him. He also fed him. Saul was hungry, and he helped Saul begin a ministry for Jesus instead of against him. You know, Saul was dedicated. Ananias was dedicated. They were committed to God, both of them committed to God, but they were on different sides of the argument. They were on different sides of the whole movement. Both of them had an experience that unexpectedly changed the path that they were on and led them to do something that seemed wrong. Ananias didn't think he should ever get together with Saul. Saul didn't think he would ever respect this new the way. And both got another chance. So I wonder, have you ever had a sense that God was calling you to do something or leading you in a certain direction, and all you could really think of in that regard was, are you kidding, God? No, not doing that. That doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not capable of doing that, or I'd have to work with them. I can't ask that person to come to church. We're not perfect. I don't want anyone to come to church when we're not perfect. I can't serve on that committee. I don't have enough time. I'm not sure I would like those people. Please don't ask me to be on a committee. I can't have a conversation with that person. They are completely unreasonable. They follow the wrong political candidates. They believe all the wrong things. I can't talk to them. I just need to stay away from them. But that would make me have to question all the times I've done it my way. And I knew I was right. That's something for someone older to do. Well, that's something for somebody younger to do. But wait, that's not fair. I didn't have a blinding encounter with Jesus. I didn't have a vision where God told me to do something. How am I supposed to know what to do when I get these unexpected ideas about something to do, and I don't know if it's God who's leading me or not God who's leading me? Here's just an easy an easy way to wonder and to take action on those things. When you get those ideas that seem impossible, that seem wrong, but you know that they would be right. Follow your instincts to do good. Just like that. Follow your instincts to treat people with respect and dignity. Follow your instincts to choose love over hate or indifference. Follow your instincts to treat everyone the way that you want to be treated. And what happens when you fail? You try again. Fail again, try again. Fail miserably, try again. Try the exact same thing? Well, maybe not. But if the exact same thing is following your instincts to do good, your instincts to treat people with respect and dignity, your instincts to choose love over hate or indifference, your instincts to treat everyone the same way that you'd like to be treated, then yes, do the same thing again, even when you fail. Move forward as a people of compassion, of love, of community, of hope. Move forward as a people of justice, equality, and reconciliation. Try again when you fail. Live out love every day with everyone you meet, every encounter. Amen.